Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad He'll carry us, aren't you? Amen. Wonderful singing this morning. Good to see you out in the house of the Lord. We thank all those that went to church camp and waded the mud and the water and the muck and came back. We had some saved down there this week, and that's a glorious event. We're going to have a baptizing tonight, so if you were at camp and got saved and want to be baptized, you show up tonight and we will do that. We like to, after you get saved, you need to be baptized. You need to say to the world, those around you, hey, something has happened to me. And I'm going to testify to that fact by being baptized. And you need to be baptized. Sometimes I'm afraid us Baptists are guilty of not encouraging that the way the Word says to do it. And so, need to be baptized, first with the Spirit, and then praise God in water and show everybody what happened. Would you, God gave me this message. I used this down in Alabama a couple weeks ago, and I can't get away from it. I'm satisfied it's what the Lord did. And if some of you here today, I solidified this in my heart. I mean, confirmed it to me that I've got what the Lord had had me preach. I'm in Joshua chapter 15. That's where I'm going to take my text from today. Joshua chapter 15. I'm going to put you on notice today. Some of you have been on, you've seen our services on Facebook. And if you sit in certain places in the congregation, you were out of the camera's light. We got a new camera. We're not doing it on the old iPad anymore. Lord bless us. And you are in camera's view. So if you're on your cell phone instead of listening to the preacher, you're busted. If you're playing games or something and not paying attention, busted. It's not just the preacher that can go back and watch it, but everyone on Facebook sees it. That guy right there, that gal right there, they ain't paying no mind to what's going on here. And so you are in line. Smile, you're on candid camera. That shows how old I am. I remember that program. We thank the Lord for what He's doing and what He's going to do. And I'm looking for Him to do something here this morning. Joshua chapter 15, verse number 16. Shout amen when you found it. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Akshah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Akshah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as he came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Father, I love you and I praise you for this day. And I feel a tug from another world. I thank you for each one that's come this way this morning. I thank you for the sweet spirit we felt. God, it began in the prayer room this morning. We thank you for the Sunday school hour, for the songs of Zion. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching. So I pray as I do every time, Lord, to fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of the holy book. Lord, let it be for your glory. Let me glorify the one that's worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. God, I pray that you be pleased with what we try to do today. Bless this, Lord. There may be someone lost here today. You could save them through this word. God, there may be those discouraged. I pray they'd be encouraged. Let me be those, God, that need a drink. And I pray, God, that you'll get them to the spring today. I'll praise you for everything you do. And I ask it in the name of the King, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Born for blessing. Born for blessing. You wasn't born to be cursed, though we live under a curse on this earth. You were born for blessing. The only reason Pharaoh wasn't blessed is he hardened his heart. Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Because it was hard to begin with. He didn't want the blessing of God. He chose Godship within himself. He thought himself to be a God. He was humanism in the day of Egypt's domain. He had elevated himself. The only reason people aren't blessed today is they choose to be unblessed. You were born for blessing. The children of Israel here, they've come into the land. They've been out into the wilderness for 40 years. They've walked away in a place, though they were in the wilderness, God still blessed them. And that's the way we are today as Christians. Even though we may not be exactly where God would want us to be, still the blessing of salvation is there. But oftentimes, Brother Wade, we choose to live in a wilderness when the blessing of God is far and exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. He has greater things for us than where we're at right now spiritually. I'm not talking about two new Cadillacs in the yard. I'm not talking about living in a 6,000 square foot house, two people. I'm not talking about the things that the world says is the measure of success. I'm talking about having the blessing of God. Hey, but when they crossed that river and got into the land where God wanted them to be, old Caleb said, give me that mountain. I've been waiting on it a long time. Hey, I've been wandering around for years, and that mountain's why I want that mountain. Just give me that mountain. And God said, you can have it. It's yours. Take the mountain. So God gave Caleb, through the lineage of Judah, he gave him what he wanted. Understand this. When Caleb came into the land, here's what God said to him. You read chapter 15, Brother Dennis, here's what you're going to begin finding right off the bat. You're going to find borders. He said, here's what I want you to have, Caleb. Here's your borderline. This is the inside this circle is where you're going to work and be blessed. There is borders for us. I'll never speak like Brother Jeffries in Dallas or whatever city he's in Texas. I know that. I think I understand my borders. You have borders as well. To whom much is given, much is required of them. God didn't give you something for you to set on it and not use it for the glory of God. You have a border. There's people that's outside your border that oftentimes looks at where you're at and say, man, I wish I had that. But look here. He's given us all gifts and talents and abilities. There's borders out there. I can't drive a car like Randy. And there's a lot of things. There was about a 15-year-old boy Friday night in Kentucky. And he could beat the keys off the piano. I was mesmerized by him. He asked Kenny Parsons, he said, can I play your keyboard? I want to play that. Brother Kenny just got up, this kid sat down, and his fingers could move so fast, I thought, whoa! So I asked him, I said, how long you been playing, son? I figured he was going to tell me since I was 3 years old. He said, about 2 years. 2 years? His daddy said, well, about 2.5 years. Said, he's got a little ways to go. Little ways to go. He looked like, I'm telling you, he's smoking that thing. I'm thinking, how does he do that? He's inside God's border. This is his border. God's put him in a place of work. He's put you in a place. The difference is, it's whether we choose to do what God has called us to do inside those borders or not. Now, once the border is set and we're happy, I believe, here's what I tell people that want to join this church. And I told a fellow the other day, Brother Branson, I said, there's a few Free Will Baptists are members of our church. He said, really? I said, yeah, there's a few Free Will Baptists. And there's Methodists and Church of God. Maybe a Pentecostal or two. Some Southern Baptists and some of this and some Nazarenes and some of that. Here's what I ask people, Brother Johnny. I say, I want you to know this is your vineyard and that you're joining up with a Free Will Baptist Church and this is what we are and what we do. And you come in this place and this is your border. It's where God's chosen to put you. It's where you need to work. You feel led of God. This is where God wants me to be. And if it is, then you're in the right place. My point is this. Caleb had aboard Jimmy. Been your boarder for a long time. I take him for granted so often that when he has something he has to do, that I forget to lock the doors. I try to catch Randy before he leaves, saying, lock the door. I forgot. I never have to think about that. Someone else does that for me, Johnny. But once your border is established, I want you to understand this. Once that border was established, it wasn't easy greasy and ice cream and cookies. No, right off the bat, as soon as the border was established, then came the battle. I mean, when he's just wandering out there in the wilderness, they're just wandering around, and his people's dying left and right. And waiting, God's waiting until they all die. He said they're going to die. I'm going to send you out there a year for every day that you're over in the land I wanted you in. And so they're gathered around there. These people are dying. Joshua's waiting. Caleb's waiting. They all die off. And one day God said, okay, time to cross the river and go into this. But when you go in over there, the first thing, once the border was set, the battle began. You know what happens to people that get saved? They think this is it. I'm never going to have any problem. Friend, your problem has just begun. You have just begun to fight. The devil's going to leave. When you're on the devil's team, he's not going to hinder you. Listen, he's not going to kick a stool out from under you. You're going to hinder your own self because the way of the transgressor is hard, praise God. Hey, but when you get in the will of God, you get saved. You get in the will of God, your border is set. You know where God wants you to be. I'm telling you, friend, you bumped your head if you think the battle has not yet begun. It has begun. And it's not easy. But the battle isn't ours. It's when we try to fight the battle that we find ourselves in a bad place. So here Joshua says, now I'm going to take the mountain. Did Joshua take the mountain? He put forth the work that you spoke about, if we taught about in Sunday school, a different thing than just sowing money. And he put forth the time and the effort, but God gave him the strength, gave him the ability, and he couldn't lose. Stay with me. And so don't be surprised when you're in the battle you never thought you'd be in. How did I get here? You probably got on the opposite team of the devil. But Caleb didn't back up once he got that. Caleb has a daughter. So once the border is set, the battle is fought, the blessing of God is given. You know when you recognize the greatest blessing is when you see where you was or what you didn't have, and now you know spiritually what you have in Christ. And when the scales have fallen off like they did on Paul, who was Saul at that time, the scales have fallen off, now you get light and you say, whoa, look here. I'm seeing some things I never saw before. God's blessing me. And you begin to look around at the blessings, Brother Johnny. I had a young preacher come up to me in Kentucky Thursday night. I didn't know this boy from Adam. His name's Derek Hall. If he may be watching this, may be listening. At least that's what Ronnie told me. I hope he gave me the right name. He said, you don't know me. He said, but He said, I go to sleep with you in my ear every night. I thought, what a nightmare. He said, I tune you in. And he said, I put you in my ear. And he said, you don't know it, but you've helped me a bunch. I know who this boy was. I had no idea, Randy. You talk about what my heart done. My heart done some flips. Because here's a young preacher I never met. And you know what? You talk about a blessing. I wanted to run around the parking lot sticking my tongue out at the devil and going, ha, 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 look at that devil. Praise God, we've helped somebody. What a blessing, Brother Kevin. We look back, whether it's in ministry, whether you've been someone that just helped another one along the way, you can look back behind that. I'm telling you, put that bread on the water and it's going to come back. It'll show up one day. It's going to help you when it does. So he has a daughter. That's one of his blessings. The daughter says this. I've never seen this before, Brother Johnny. The daughter asked Othniel. That means power with God, a powerful man of God. Othni is a man of power, put L on the end, God. He's a powerful man. He's a force of God. She's talking, get this. So the bride is speaking to the bridegroom, who is now the husband, to speak to the father about a blessing. Because even though he's blessed her with a certain thing, stay with me right here, even though he's blessed her with a certain thing, there's more blessing to be had. So she asks the husband to ask, but when she approaches, the father speaks to her. He speaks to her, and what wouldest thou? Here's what she said, you give me a south land. Is there anybody in here today that say, God's blessed me with something?
Amen.
He's given me a south land. You've given me a south land, but here's what I'd like to have. I'd like to have more blessing. Well, she's in a good place to be because she was born for blessing. She was born under that age where there's going to die in the wilderness. She was born in the time when she's going to be into the land of milk and honey. Hey, she was born for the blessing. And her daddy's going to fight the battle, or her husband's going to fight the battle for her. And the bride, all she's got to do is come and take what the father said she could have. There it is, but here's what she said. She said, I appreciate the land, and that's good, but I want a blessing. What wouldest thou? What, just exactly what do you want? Well, I'd like some springs of water. Because the place where I'm at, a south land, and it's kind of dry down there. It's easy to get dried out. No matter how large the blessing, the danger within the churches today, Brother Dennis, is this. Through our service, over and over, you work, you sweat, you toil, you sow, you plant, you reap occasionally. You do this over and over and over, and you know what? Pretty soon you find yourself dehydrated. Things begin to happen to us when we become dry and dehydrated. Look here, we don't get along with our friends. There'll be things ensue or come up in our life and we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to come and get it off us and get it on God where it belongs and let God take care of it. We have difficulties at work. There's just a host of things. We can sit through church and never be stirred up by the Word of God, by the singing, by whatever. We can find a fault in anything. Dehydration is a dangerous thing in the life of a Christian. And in the Southland where she was going to be, it's a dry place. She knew what she needed. I need a little water. Here's what the father said. He said, I'm about to give you some water. I'm going to give you water. I'm going to give you water up here. And I'm going to give you water down here. That word upper there means high. It means I'm going to give you water in a high place. Glory to God. You know what that is? That's drinking at camp meeting. That's drinking at camp meeting. I'm going to give you, if you'll come, I'll give you a drink. I'm going to give you a drink. There's going to be times when you are so blessed, you're going to be up here in the high place at the upper spring. Now you're going to have to come up to the spring to get a drink up here. Just come on up to this spring, and if you'll come up, I'll give you a drink. If you want a drink in a high place, you come and see me and I'll give you one. And we like to drink in the high places. I like it when they're touching the tops of the clouds. Man, and everything's good. And camp meeting's on, and people's dancing in the aisle and shouting glory to God. Friday night we had a group, Mike Upright sing on Thursday, and he'd done a great job. Friday night, I meet these guys in the parking lot, and here's what he said. They're from someplace in Virginia. Latham's got his hand over his heart. I've mentioned the homeland. And here's what he said. We're so far up a holler, you can't even see where we're at. And when he got out of his old van, I'm walking across Pat and I walk across the parking lot. He said, hey, said, we come over here, said, I hear this, we're trying to start a farm. I said, there's one already started. He said, oh, we're in the right place. They get up there, and Brother Lester, one of the deacons there at the church asked me, he said, you know the Jackson family? I'm talking about getting a drink in a high place. I said, no, I don't know the Jackson family. He said, oh, you're going to like these guys. There was one woman sang with them. I'm assuming she's the wife of one of the guys. I don't know. I didn't ask. They get up there, and Ronnie must have knew what to ask for. Ronnie Spriggs said, hey, sing. He should have called angels. And this big old boy that played bass and worked on the railroad, he just leaned into the microphone, hit a note on that bass, Brother Bob, and he said, you should have called angels. And I'm telling you, I felt the wings fluttering. Something happened in that place. The spring opened up. The dam broke. We got a drink of water. And it didn't quit flowing until invitation was over. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, God, let me get a drink in a high place. We're not always drinking in the high places, but if you're going to get a drink in a high place, you've got to come up to where the high place is. What high place is this? Who is this spring? It's Jesus, of course. We're talking about the tribe of Judah here. Who do you think the spring is? Who could it be? Is he a high one? Oh, yeah. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and give him a name that's above every name. If you're going to get a drink, he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. If you want a drink at the well, praise God, in the high place, that's as high as you can get up there and get one. In the high place, there's the water. But you want the reality of it, Brother Wade Stover? We don't stay in high places very long. You know where we spend most of our time? At the nether spring. What's the nether spring? That word nether means lowest, low. It means the low spot, the pit, in a hole, down low. Some of you have been in that place. Some of you may be in that place today. There's water there too. You want to know the difference in the upper spring and the lower spring? In the upper spring, you have to go to the water. But when you're in the lowest spot, Brother Randy, the water comes to you. Who knows that water runs downhill? Who knows that when You just get out here and dig you a hole in your yard, and when it rains, what's going to fill up? That lowest spot's going to fill up. So do you know this? What did this daddy know that this girl needed? He knew that she's going to need a spring in the high times, and she's going to need a spring in the low times. Hey, there's some of us that's been here in this room today. I've seen him come in. I'm not trying to make fun or pick on him or embarrass him in any way. But Brother Jim Townsley's come in today. And I remember being in a hospice house when Sister Chris was about to leave this world. I remember gathering around the bed and praying with this man. And I tell you what happened. The water came. We got a drink. We got a drink in that place. Praise God. He's still here. There he sits. Listen, you can have a drink in the lowest place you ever been. All you got to do is ask for the water. If she don't ask for this blessing, she never gets the blessing. But she says this, the land's good, but I need some water. I need it. And the daddy knew she needed it in the high place, and she needed it in the low place. I remember when Brother Danny was in the hospital. It was Centennial, wasn't it? And I talked to Sister Flo on the phone. And she said, pray, preacher. Pray, Danny's having trouble. Pray. And he testified himself to it right there on that stage. He said, you know what happened? I was in that place. Who come by, Danny?
The Lord.
He said, the Lord came by. He couldn't get to him. Danny couldn't get to that high place. He needed a drink, and he needed it now. He needed that living water. He needed that thing given to him. Who come walking by but the Lord? Hallelujah! It's good to have a spring in a low place when you don't think you can go, and the water come rolling down the hill and finds you where you are.
Brother Bob Palmore called me. I don't even know what day that was. A Friday. It was a week before last on Friday. And I was in Mount Juliet. I had just left the house of my aunt who was dying. We done her funeral yesterday. I was sitting at a... When I got in my automobile, I had a voicemail from Brother Bob. I called him. He said, preacher, pray and pray now. Get it on a prayer chain. Do whatever you got to do. We need help from heaven. I'm telling you, brother, you're in a low place. But God had given the nether spring. I didn't call Bob. I'm not tooting my horn. Sometimes I pray and I wonder, did God even hear me? I know He does. But it's not, listen, when it's not feeling, that's real faith. But every now and then, when you pray, I just nearly called Bob and told him. I've sent some of you texts that says this, help is on the way. I just nearly called Bob and I thought, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say a word to anybody. I'm just going to rejoice when it comes to pass. But when I said, Father, that day, whoo, the water started rolling. I said, glory to God. Something good's going to happen right here. And God's going to show Himself. And at that point, it was a low spot. And Bob called and said this. Said, hey, my brother's doing good. Hey, he's out of the ICU. They're going to send him home. Wow, glory. Why does that make you so happy, preacher? Because one of these days, I'm going to be in that low spot. You're going to be in that low spot. And that water, praise God, is still going to be there.
The water is going to be there. You can't exhaust that well. Brother Sheldon, sitting right there in ICU the other day. He graduates from ICU to an upper room. I see him in the upper room. We had a good visit in prayer. Here he is in church today. Drinking that water. You were born. For God so loved the world that He gave His own begotten Son. You were born to drink from those wells. I love the upper well. And I'm just going to tell you, it's when I'm in that low place I need to drink the worst. I need to drink more in the lower places. That's where I really desire the water. When I'm saying, God, I need some help. That's the Spirit and the power of God. That water is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Watch this. Who is the Holy Ghost? He said, "Ye shall tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That's who He is. He is the power that worketh in us. He is the one that has taken up His abode that's drinking that water. There's no need to be dry. The fountain's always flowing and we can't exhaust the fountain. The water's flowing. Some just refuse to drink. Some of the kids got a drink this week down at camp. And some of the workers may feel like they didn't get a drink. They got exhausted. But your drink will come. We got some folks about to go down to Phoenix City, Alabama tomorrow and help a sister church in a vacation Bible school friend of mine. And many of you, Danny Riles. They need a drink. You take them the water. If that water is a well in us springing up into everlasting life, do we or do we not have the ability to carry water to them? Do you need a drink this morning? You need a drink? You in a dry place? Father, I'd like to have a well, okay? What wouldest thou? I need springs. I need some water, okay? I'm going to give it to you. You may be in that highest place right now. My Uncle Earl Phipps is in a low place yesterday at the funeral. I don't know how long he and Joyce have been married, 70 years or something like that. She's 88. I think she's 18 when they got married. They've been married a long time. He doesn't know what he's going to do. I'll tell you what he's going to do. If he chooses to, he'll give him a drink of water in the lowest place he's ever been. Isn't it good that the fountain never goes dry? You need a drink today? Randall, come on. We're going to stand to our feet. Brother Randall's going to lead us in song.
Page 396.
And if you need to pray, you need something from God. If you're here and you're unsafe, you ought to come and say, "Give me the living water." All you got to know is you're the sinner, He's the Savior. You're in a dry place, you need a drink. Maybe you're in a high place, you ought to thank Him for drinking from the high fountain while we sing.
Hear my cry, hear my call. Oh.
help today, you ought to come. God's still working. Now's the time to get a drink. Now's the time to get a drink. Glory. Continue to pray. Bow your heads in the house of God with me today, would you? You hear, you're not drinking from that fountain. You never had a drink from the high spring or the low spring. You're just drinking from the world. And you need a drink, would you say, hey, preacher, pray for me. I'm not going to drag you up here, come to you, embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Would you bow a raised hand and say, hey, preacher, pray for me. While we tarry just a moment. Father, we love you. We praise you for the day. Father, we love you. We praise you for the day. Father, we love you. We praise you. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.